All right. We talked about living victoriously. You know, that's how God wants us to get through our challenges. He wants to get through victoriously. And He only has one attitude towards the difficulties that we encounter. And that is, He intends that we win. Now, we talked about the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we came to understand that we have a lot of strongholds in our minds. Especially if you've spent any time in the denominational world, you've got some strongholds. And you have to bring those down with the Word of God. A lot of times we get taught things that are just not true. And we have to cast those down. They're high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we found out that we walk by faith and not by sight. So whatever distractions we might see in this world or here, if they're contrary to the Word of God, we have to cast those down. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it tells us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that's something that we are going to have to do all the time. I don't know if you've ever noticed, when you step out to do something in faith, all of a sudden there's going to be all these, what you might call wind and waves coming your way. Tribulation, challenges. Now the third step in this process is to get before God and ask Him to give you a promise or promises to stand on in your situation. Look at Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. God says, "To call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Well, that's good news. Did you know that you don't know everything? But God does. And He has the answer. And we may struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle looking for it in the Bible. If we'll just take time to just get alone with God and ask Him for the answer, ask Him for the word, He will guide you to the verse that you need to stand on. He'll impress it upon you. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, tells us, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So this could be rendered, Christ speaks and you hear, and faith comes. So let the Holy Spirit minister promises out of God's word to you that pertain to your present situation. You will not have to struggle to convince yourself with the scripture. You'll have faith come. And here's the thing. That tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit will give you a verse. You go look that verse up and look at it. And read it over and over and over again. And study it and meditate on it. And keep meditating on it. He impressed upon you the answer that you need. So spend some time looking at that word. God gave you His answer. So we need to get the victory. He's telling us we need to get it in our heart. And the only way we're going to get it in our heart is if we meditate on it. And once we look at it and read it and hear it over and over and over again, then we'll get a rhema word. We'll get an understanding of it. We'll get a revelation of it. That'll be our faith that we needed. Now, step number four, and this is going to be the toughie because of all the distractions out there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we need to put on our spiritual blinders as we take our place on the promise or the promises that the Lord has given you. The enemy will attempt to present lying signs, symptoms to you, and you will refuse to waver or step off of the word. I promise you, God will impress the scripture on you. When you're in a bad place and you ask God to help you and he gives you a scripture and said, this is the scripture you need, the devil is going to do absolutely everything he can do to get you off of that word. He's going to do anything he can think of. He will even use Christians. He will use Christians to get you off of that word. It's amazing to me what I've seen Christians do to other Christians to get them to not operate in faith. But I see Christians do some pretty weird stuff all the time. I don't know. This, I just seen one just the other day. This might have topped the list. Be pretty close. This pastor stepped down because he said he did something morally wrong. They didn't say what he did, but he stepped down, resigned from the church, and the board got together and they invoked Lucifer to get the congregation not to say anything about it. And I thought, the whole bunch of you needs to go. If you're turning to Lucifer to protect the church. But that's kind of where a lot of the church world has ended up, relying on witchcraft and anything under the sun other than the name of Jesus. So we got our promise. We got our blinkers on. We're not going to look at the wind and waves. There's going to be distractions. And it seems like almost every time I've ever ran across a scripture that the Holy Spirit impressed upon me, said, this is important. You need to get this. It seems like there is, it just amazes me how many distractions come my way. All of a sudden, even things I never thought about. Just all these ideas, all these different things. People will invite me to go out to dinner. This, that, people I haven't even talked to for I don't know how long. They'll say, hey, why don't you come on over here, do this. And it's like, I need to stay right here and do this. It's a challenge. But when you need your answer and God gives it to you, you need to stay put until you get that rooted in your heart. And I promise you, the distractions will come. Now look at Romans chapter 4, verse 17. It says, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they were. So we need to pray the answer and not the problem. The answer is the scripture or the scriptures that God has given you, along with all the rest of the word of God that tells you how it is from his point of view. Pray the word, confessing over the people and the situation. Thank God continually that He is doing it and that it is done. That you are in agreement with Him. Call those things which be not as though they were. See, Jesus gave us the answer. God gave us the answer. We need to run around talking to our mountain. That means we're going to have to call things that aren't as though they were. So you get sick, you get attacked with a sickness, you got to run around saying, by His stripes I was healed. Unfortunately, see, Jesus said you could have whatsoever things you say if you believe. What happens is people will run around saying what they have. They'll run around, they'll get attacked with cancer. They'll run around and they'll say, well, my cancer is doing this, or my cancer is doing that, or my cancer is bad. They claim it and it's theirs, and they talk about it all the time. Instead of doing what Jesus said, talking to it. People will talk themselves into poverty. They'll talk about being broke. They'll talk about not having enough. They'll talk about how hard things are. They'll talk about how expensive things are. They'll talk about the challenges they have. Instead of talking to that poverty, they'll talk about it. Instead of talking to their mountain, they talk about their mountain. And their mountain gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, with Jesus on your side, He can turn those mountains into molehills. He just needs us to get into agreement with Him and cooperate with Him. You know, all too often, people will come in and they'll get a word from God, they'll pray the answer, and then they'll go outside and tear their seed right out of the ground, just like that. Never even happened. And they wonder why things don't happen. I've even had people will say, see, God doesn't do anything for me. I actually had a lady tell me one time that wasn't a real prayer. They'll blame everything and everybody but themselves. See, a lot of times, we're just not agreeing with God. We're not in line with His Word. You know, there's a thing in the Word of Faith circles, and they used to run around and they'd say, there's nothing wrong with God, and there's nothing wrong with His Word, so it must be you. No, that's not how God sees it. There's nothing wrong with God, there's nothing wrong with His Word, and there's nothing wrong with you. We just need to get in agreement with His Word. See, a lot of times preachers disqualify people trying to get them to do better. The best thing to do is show people how they're qualified so they can do better. See, when a person finds out that God is really on his side and really wants him to win, he'll stand up and fight. He'll stand up and try to do something. But if they think that God is against them, if they think that maybe they're paying for some sin that they did 20 years ago, they're not going to get much done in the faith realm. They're always going to have that condemnation. That's not for us. We want to stand up on the promises of God, take the name of Jesus, and when these battles come, we win. It's kind of surprising to me how many people don't think Christians should have battles. I actually had a Christian tell me that there was no demons anymore. I said, that all went away. I said, really? But the Bible tells us that my people perish for lack of knowledge of the Word. When we don't understand what's in the Word, that hurts us. See, there's an old saying running around, what you don't know won't hurt you. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. What you don't know will hurt you. If you don't know what God says, that can cause you a lot of trouble. I see Christians fight this all the time. They don't read the Bible. They go to church, but they just hang on every word the pastor says. They hang on every word the whatever their convention says. They hang on whatever their convention rules say, but they'll take that over the Word of God. That will cause them a great amount of discomfort. What you don't know will hurt you. You must know the Word of God. And in fact, the Bible tells us to study and show yourselves approved, rightfully dividing the Word of God. We need to understand what He has given us. You're not going to receive something that you don't know about. The sixth step that we got to take, and it's imperative that we walk in love. We need to keep our life clean so that our fellowship with the Heavenly Father is unhindered and our prayers have authority. Ask the Father to reveal any ground that you have given in your life to the enemy. Confess and get rid of it. Refuse any judgmentalness, bitterness, unforgiveness to dwell in you. It will block your victory. You know, unforgiveness is just such a hideous, hideous thing. And it's a terrible trap for Christians to fall into. It's a terrible trap for people to fall into. It'll cause you to have bitterness in your heart. And it's a real challenge to understand that you're forgiven if you're not willing to forgive somebody else. And some people may say, well, you don't know what they did to me. And I say, well, okay, I don't. But Jesus does, and you can forgive them with His forgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean that you forget it. See, there's a teaching running around that says forgive and forget, and that's not what the Bible says. It says forgive. See, there's too many people that forget. And then they do the same stupid thing again. See, just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean that you're going to go out there and stick your finger in that trap again. See, forgiveness doesn't mean stupidity. We learn from our mistakes. Chapter 5, verse 6 says, faith which works by love. That's big. Our faith works by love. Our faith is activated and energized and expressed by works of love. Now here's an interesting thing. A lot of people are focused on the power of God. And they focus on the power of God. They want to see the power of God. What God wants us to focus on is the love of God. A manifestation of the love of God will be a manifestation of the power of God, and the manifestation of the power of God will be a manifestation of the love of God. It's not going to be one or the other. It's always going to be both. But it's always going to be tied to love. And actually, pretty much everything is going to hang off of that curtain rod. You might say the gifts of the Spirit. Everything is going to hang off of that curtain rod of faith. There is a law or that curtain rod of love. There is a law of love. See, there, we like to focus on the law of faith, but we do have a law of love too. When we focus on the love that God has for us, that's going to make loving some of these other situations and people a lot easier. But if we focus on how much we love God, we're going to fail miserably. We need to focus on how much He loves us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, "And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling sacrifice." So there is a love walk. There's a faith walk. We like to talk about faith walking. But it's more of a struggle to focus on walking in love. But if we understand that our faith walk is going to be hindered if we let the love walk slide, but our faith walk will be strengthened if we focus on the love walk. They're going to go hand in hand. Our next step, and this is really a tough one for this day and age, so to be prepared to stand forever. It won't take very long. Be persistent and unwavering. Do not bow your knee to fear, which will try to erode and discourage your faith. Cast it out in the name of Jesus. Now here's the thing. We live in a crazy time. And patience has just, it went flying out the window. You know, you can punch a button and have information halfway around the world in just minutes, really. You can get information immediately. Just push a button and you got what you want right now. You got microwaves, you know, punch in. We got fast food. We got convenience stores. We got everything fast, easy. I mean, you just go right downtown and get what you want right now. And then when we had to stand by faith for a little bit, people get a little bit of a shock. They say, well, I've already been believing for this for 3 days. When is this going to happen? See what has happened in this world of convenience and speed and everything right now, 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 now. Now, we get used to that, and then when we have to operate in the Spirit, it's like, well, wait a minute. You mean I can't just push a button and it's here instantly? You may have to stand for a while. You know, it used to be when we wanted something, we'd cut a little thing out of a magazine, we'd fill it out, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, mail it off, and it'd get there in a couple weeks. And then they'd fill out the order. And then it'd get back to you in a couple weeks. You know, maybe you could get it in a couple weeks. You know, sometimes anywhere 2 to 4 weeks. And now people are just panic stricken if the internet is just a little bit slow. People just completely fall apart. The stop, you know, last year when they had the stoplight in between here and Alpine, people were just screaming at the top of their lungs, saying, I'm so tired of waiting on this stoplight. Well, I got there one time, and I was just curious. I got there one time right when it turned red, and I timed it. And I found out that the longest that you would be waiting is 5 minutes. And people were up in arms. You cannot believe the fits I heard about that stoplight. I even seen people blow through it. They were in too big of a hurry to just stop, usually for 2 or 3 minutes. See, it's an inconvenience for us to have to be patient. But the Bible does say to let patience have her perfect work. See, this is how we're going to endure. This is how we're going to grow in faith. But we're going to have to be patient. And patience is the fruit of the Spirit. And that's only going to come out of a fellowship with Jesus in His Word. When we abide in the vine, staying in His Word, that's how we let patience be developed in us. It's not something that we're going to, we can't pray for patience. It's just something that's going to be developed in us only through a fellowship with Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So we prayed our prayer of faith. We're standing on the Word of God. We're watching over our prayer by watching what we say. We're casting down imaginations. And then what? We stand. And we praise God for the answer. What else are you going to do? Throw a fit because you didn't get what you want when you wanted it? That's not going to do any good. Just offer up praises. And Jesus gave us a really, really good key at the tomb of Lazarus. He thanked God for hearing his prayers. That would be a start. Thank God for the promises that He's given you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." See, that word confidence be your confession. Don't throw your confession out the window. Keep standing on that word. God gave you a promise. He told you how to get through it. Keep standing on that. Don't tear your seed out of the ground. Keep watering it. Keep watching over that word and let it grow into fruit. It may take a little while. But if you keep on it, you be persistent, you will win. But don't just throw your word out. Don't throw your confession away. Keep standing on it and keep repeating His word. You have the word. You have the answer. You know how it is. You know that you've won. And circumstances must bow their knee. We pray in the Spirit. We rejoice as you pray. The word over every angle of your situation. Use your spiritual authority, binding and loosing, according to Matthew chapter 18, 18. God is faithful and the victory is yours. His promises are yea and amen. He gave His word. We have to be fully persuaded that God is able to do what He said He would do. And that's where the practice is going to, that's where it's going to take practice. We have to practice His word, and then we have to learn how to stand on it. and be patient. It will happen. He just needs just a little cooperation from us. Amen. All right. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We praise you for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that he has already given us the victory. And in fact, he said that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to help us in this department of walking in love, walking in liberty, and walking in faith. We know we need it. And, Father, help us to develop that fruit of patience as we dwell in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.